Okay. Let us begin. You know what happened to the stragglers? The Chaldeans got them. They picked them off one by one. Okay. As soon as you get settled in, we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord, for his finished work sacrifice on the cross, whereby all of our sins, past, present, and future, have been paid for in full. Thank you that we are new creatures in Christ, and according to you, Father, created in righteousness and as devotees of the truth or Bible doctrine. Father, may we exercise that devotion this evening. Give us a listening ear and a believing heart that we might make the most of our opportunity. For the days that we live in are perniciously evil, and the trend is not hot or cold, but lukewarm. And we are those who desire to burn hot once again where the things of God are concerned, where the Word of God is concerned. Increase our faith. Give us renewed interest in the Word of God, for we pray it in the name of our great God and Savior, who is mighty to save, Jesus Christ. Amen. Ephesians 5:8, please. He's here in spirit. And there's angels, at least two for each person. There's their guardian angel and a trainee. Because most of us need two. So he's just one in training. It's Tuesday, August 3rd, 2021. I've entitled the message, Mighty to Save. And he is mighty to save. That is believers and unbelievers. Mighty to save the believer, save his soul in time. By the deeply implanted word, James 1:21, laying aside all superfluity and naughtiness, receive with meekness the deeply implanted word, which is able to save your soul in time. And for the unsaved, in Isaiah 63:1, turn to me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved, for I'm mighty, mighty, mighty to save. And indeed he is. Ephesians 5:8. For you used to be darkness. You used to be. That's what you used to be. You were darkened. You were darkness. You were formerly darkness. But now, and forever, you are light in the Lord. Light in the Lord. You've been lighted. You've been illuminated. Once and for all enlightened. Those who have been enlightened, you are those who have been enlightened by the light that shines from the face of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, who is the light of life. Then it says in verse 9, in parentheses, but these are inspired parentheses, these weren't added. It says, for the fruit of the light consists in all agathosune. That's goodness, God's goodness, with no element of corruption at all in motive or content of any kind. And dikaiosune, righteousness, which is sinless perfection, and aletheia, which is truth. So goodness, righteousness, and truth. Verse 10 says, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. That's how we're supposed to live. That's what we're supposed to be doing all the time. Learning the Word of God so that we know what pleases the Lord. And the only thing that pleases Him is faith. The only thing that pleases Him is faith that becomes hope, and hope that becomes love. Love pleases Him because love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And with eight offspring, adjuncts, the ninefold fruit of the Spirit, the character of Jesus Christ, humanity, the way that he lived, the virtue that he had and demonstrated in the days of his human nature upon earth for 33 years on the earth. Nobody ever saw anyone like him. There was never anyone like him. He was altogether lovely. The fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, trying to learn, attempting to please the Lord in all that we do. That's our desire. And he says in verse 11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness anymore. I add anymore. Because you were darkness, but now you're light. So you don't participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness anymore, but instead identify them and expose them in yourself and where others are concerned. You don't judge them, but you certainly recognize what's darkness and what isn't. And you don't go along to get along anymore. You take a stand on what's true and what's right and what's real without being self-righteous or judgmental. There's a balance there, a delicate balance. Verse 12 says, go back to 11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. You don't need to talk about their vile acts. We all know what they are. You don't have to go into detail. Some people do so because they're fascinated by it. And in danger, in some instances, of going to the other side. Don't even think about them or talk about it. Cast those things down. Don't think about them and don't discuss them. It's disgraceful even to speak of them, the things which are done by them in secret. Verse 13, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is due to the light shining upon it. That's what it actually means. Not all that is visible is light, but light makes all things visible. Now, verse 13, which we just did, it says, we'll go back, and this is where we ended, so this is where we'll take up again. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes light becomes visible is light. Light makes all things visible. Just keep walking, the exhortation of the scriptures. Just keep walking in the light, and the darkness will be deposed. And light will fill your entire soul house, and you will shine. It will shine unto many. That light will shine unto many. That's Matthew 5:15. You don't put a lamp under a bushel. You put it in the center of the house so that it lights the whole house, and everyone that enters can see. That is a life of bright, brilliant truth. In all that you think, all that you say, all that you choose, and all that you do, as you become more and more Christ-like, as a follower of Jesus Christ. You're a follower of his, a disciple of his, learning how to walk around even as he did. If anyone alleges that he abides in him, that one ought to walk around even as Jesus did in the days of his humanity in 1 John 2:6. So that as he is, so are we, of course, in this world. 1 John 2:6, 1 John 4:17. So, if you walk in the light, you'll see all things clearly, and nothing will cause you to stumble. You're not going to trip over things that you don't see. You'll be able to see all of these things and not stumble. Not stumble badly, not stumble and fall and get hurt, get injured. Because you don't want to do that. Because it takes a long time, sometimes, to get up and to get going again. You will shine as a beacon of light in this world. That's the promise of Scripture. If you walk in the light, and will shine unto many, and many will come to know that indeed you're the real thing. That's wonderful when they say that. Well, you really have something there, don't you? You're the real thing, aren't you? I hope that manifestation is the case the true reality of case for all of us. And they'll see that you're the real thing, which in these times that we live in is becoming more and more rare to see it, more and more rare. And as a result, you'll be like Jesus to them in all conduct and speech as you continue to carefully follow in his footsteps, in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. He's left us an example that we may follow in his footsteps. These are some of the most important instructions here in Ephesians given in the New Testament. They are marching orders for conducting our lives. Properly and powerfully represent the truth personified, that is the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The instructions come from the Spirit who communicates to the churches. That's where the instructions are given, in the churches. Those who are gathered together for the proclamation of truth in all of its categories, all of which redounds to the knowledge of Christ. Nothing else we do pleases the Lord. Nothing is greater, nothing is better, nothing is more important than learning of or knowing and coming to know him. It's transforming all by itself. It's empowering all by itself. The Word does all the work. It is alive and powerful, pointed and sharp, able to penetrate deep within to the very wellspring of your life, your thought life, into the heart and soul, the marrow of your bones, to define and separate the thoughts and intentions of your heart and mind in Hebrews 4:12. Take you apart, put you back together. It cuts and heals like no computer-guided laser scalpel could even begin to do. The Word of God does. We talk about spiritual procedures and surgery. He wants you to be like Jesus, the Lord does. The Lord God wants you to be like his Son, Jesus Christ, to walk around in love as he did, to think like him, to speak like him, and to act like him. And as a result, be like him. Be imitators of God. He says in 5:1, and walk around in love as dear children, even as Christ did. That's what he wants us to be. And it couldn't be more plain, more clear. The exhortation is for one and all to stay awake, alert, and aware at all times. And we'll get into that in just a minute. This might hurt some people. The truth might hurt you tonight, but it's a good thing. Just take it like a man or like a woman. To walk in the light of truth. The exhortation is to be awake, alert, and aware. To walk in the light of truth. To be the children of light that God has made us to be, designed us to be, and made us to be. And the children of light that we will be if we simply continue to walk in the light. As children of light, walking in the light, producing the fruit of the light. That fruit is goodness, righteousness, and truth, as we just read. Indeed, this is how we are to live. He has told us how we are to walk and not to walk. He told us how to speak and not to speak. He said, speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15-25. And he says, this is how you don't speak. He says, and let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth, Ephesians 4:29. All this in Ephesians. These for sure are considered conduct, becoming the gospel. Goodness is agathosune. That's real good, or really good deeds without any corrupt element. Righteousness, dikaiosune, sinless perfection. You say, is that possible? Yeah, the new man's not capable of sin at all. And truth, aletheia, pure unadulterated truth, plainly stated and clearly understood. In accordance with the will and wish of God the Holy Spirit, who sets us apart unto the Lord for the holy life of Jesus that he called us to live. Ephesians 5:14, for this reason it says, wake up, sleeper, and arise from the dead. That's the deep sleep of carnal death that some are sleeping. And Christ will shine on you. That's what we need. We need Christ to shine on us. Now and evermore. See, the stakes are so high and the reward is so valuable, we don't want to miss any of it. Verse 15 says, therefore, be very careful how you walk around, how you conduct your life. Not as fools, disregarding what the Scripture says, the commandments of the Lord, and the protocol of God, the protocol plan of God for your life, how one should conduct himself as a follower of Jesus Christ, walking in his footsteps. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as fools, but as wise. Wisdom, having know-how, spiritual know-how. Knowing the Lord, knowing his word, knowing how to think and what to do in a wide variety of circumstances or situations from the Scriptures that reside and circulate in the soul stream of consciousness, the course through your mind and your heart. We were formerly darkness, but now we're light in the world. That is the light of life, Jesus Christ. John 8:12 has shone into our darkness. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, light shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the glory of God, the knowledge of the glory of God that shines from the face of Christ. Therefore, we behold, as in a glass, the face of Christ, the glory of the Lord, and are changed into that same image that fulfills the will of God, from glory to glory by the Lord who is the Spirit. And we're free from the tethers that tie us or bind us to the earth. And we can assume our rightful place in the heavenlies, seated together with Christ in heavenly places. And when we're hid with Christ in God, the devil can't find us. And there's nothing he can do. The wicked one touches you not, 1 John 5:19. He can't. He can't find you. He can't touch you if he can't find you. And you're hid with Christ in God, fully protected from the wiles, from the evil plots, sinister plans of the wicked one. So now and for the rest of our days, we are commanded to make steady and continuous progress, step by step, as we walk each day by faith and not by sight. Walking in the good deeds which God prepared in advance that we should walk in. That's Ephesians 2:10. Walking worthy of our high and holy calling. These are all walking metaphors from Ephesians. Ephesians 4:1. Walking in good deeds prepared in advance. Ephesians 2:10. Walking worthy of our high and holy calling. Ephesians 4:1. Not as the Gentiles walk in the emptiness or vacuum of their minds. In Ephesians 4:17. No, walking in love in Ephesians 5:1, even as Christ did. Walking as children of light, Ephesians 5:8, and walking circumspectly, which we'll get to in a moment, Ephesians 5:18. Not as fools, but as wise, making the most of our time on earth. If we're living that way, we'll have plenty to do. That should keep us occupied. That should keep us busy all the time. Then it says next in verse 16, it says, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So what is the plain meaning of such a statement? Making the most of your time because the days are evil. What should a reasonable person think and do with such a thing, such a statement as this? What if I have never done any such thing? And don't feel that I can because I'm not interested or I'm too lazy or too busy. And you may indeed be all of these. not interested, too lazy, or too busy. The truth is, unless the Lord awakens you by shining upon you, it won't happen. But if he should, and if you want him to, things will begin to change for the better. You can pray, Lord, you know how stupid and lazy I am. It's a great prayer. And that I have very little interest in learning anything, including your word. Help me. We're not that honest, are we, to do that? I've prayed prayers like this before. That's why I know, that's why I wrote this down to tell you. Because I've prayed these prayers. Help me, change me, mold me, and make me into the image of Christ. Don't pray it unless you mean it. Give me his love for your word. His love for your word. And his determination to live it out for your glory. Moreover, you will and work in me according to your good pleasure, Philippians 2:13, in order that I would not be numbered among those who will suffer shame by their own doing at their own hand at the judgment seat of Christ by neglecting rather than respecting your holy word. You could pray as Moses did, who wrote Psalm 90. Did you know Moses wrote Psalm 90? He was the meekest man in all the earth. That's saying something, isn't it? Numbers 12:3. Now the man Moses was very weak, was very meek. I didn't mean weak, meek. Meek and weak are not the same. Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Guess who had to write that? Moses had to write that about himself. That proves that the scriptures are inspired. Nobody would write such a thing about themselves. Psalm 90:12, the Psalm of Moses, the servant of God. So teach us to number our days. There's a good one. This is Matt Schultz's favorite verse. I've ascribed this to him as his favorite verse. It may not be, but he told me this long ago and it stuck with me. Teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Don't be a fool, but be wise. That is in accordance with God and the word of God. Then he says in verse 13, he says, do return, O Lord. I'm waiting for your return. How long will it be? And be sorry, have compassion on your servants, which he does, of course. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your grace and goodness, your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all day. That's a good one, isn't it? Satisfy in the morning with your loving kindness, we may sing and for joy and be glad all day. Oh, that has some ramifications. If you don't, if you're not satisfied in the morning with his loving kindness, you won't sing for joy and be glad all day. No, you won't. Then he says, make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us. In other words, all the bad days that I had at my own doing, give me as many good ones. And I shall be satisfied. Verse 17 says, back to Ephesians 5:17. So then, do not be foolish. That's kind. That's not what it really says. I'll tell you what it says in a minute. But rather understand what the will of the Lord is. Plainly stated, he says, so then, stop being stupid. That's exactly what it means. That means stop making excuses, blaming people and circumstances, or telling yourself that I don't have time or I'm just not interested. Remember, according to God, you're a new creation, according to God, created righteous and devoted to the word, Ephesians 4:24. Can't get away from that. If that's who you are, then how should you live? To say anything else is to call God a liar. He said it. I didn't say it. I didn't come up with it or make it up. He did. He came up with it because he sees you in Christ, perfect. and the new man without sin. 1 John 3:9. To say anything else is to call God a liar. And you really don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. I don't recommend that. So starting tomorrow morning, as soon as you rise with your morning coffee, get a little dose of the Word from the Spirit. I assure you, your day will be better with it than without it. You say, why are you telling us all this? Don't we all do this? I sure hope so. That's my job, to make sure, to reinforce these things. Oh, there's other things that come first. Really? I don't think so. So what does he mean by understand what the will of the Lord is? It is 1 Timothy 2:4. What's the will of the Lord? Salvation for one and all through faith in Christ, and followed by sanctification. 1 Timothy 2:4, John 17, 17. Get the Word. Sanctify them, Father, by thy truth, thy Word is truth. Salvation by faith alone in Christ alone, followed by sanctification, John 17, 17. Listening to, learning, leaning, living, and loving the mind or thinking of Christ, being transformed inwardly and conformed, souschematizo, and metamorpho, transformed inwardly and conformed in conduct outwardly to his likeness, to follow in his footsteps, to walk around as he did. 1 John 2:6 and 4:17, living by every word of God in complete dependence upon the Holy Spirit. You say, we know this already, but are you doing it? Enabled by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, enabled to do it. Living by every word of God, complete dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4, John 3:34, and Galatians 5:16. That's enough to live on every day. It's replete in Ephesians, which is the doctrinal dissertation on spiritual dynamics. This is how we live, this life in the flesh. So we live by the faith of the Son of God. It is a lifestyle of wisdom and revelation into the true knowledge of Christ, Ephesians 1:17. It is the intensive indwelling of Christ and coming to know the dimensions of his love, Ephesians 3:16. To 21. It's walking worthy of our high and holy calling, Ephesians 4:1. It's being an imitator of the God-man, Jesus Christ, walking around in love. All of it comes by hearing and believing the Word. Nothing else will do. And listen to this. Nothing more is required. Nothing. Luke 10:42. That's what he told Mary as Martha worked so hard in the kitchen. Luke 10:42, but only one thing is needed or is necessary. These things are just to help you. Verse 18. Ephesians 5:18. Here's a good one. And stop getting drunk with wine. For that's what unsaved people do, who are wasting their time and resources, but rather live and walk under the influence of the Spirit. Stop driving under the influence of liquor and narcotics, but rather walk in dependence upon the Spirit, under the influence of the Spirit. Don't get a DUI in your SUV and end up in the SUD, sin unto death. 1 John 5:16, Romans 8:13. There are two categories of believers according to these many other passages in the Scripture. They are winners and losers. Winners and losers. Stakes are high. The winners are those who grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ in 2 Peter 3:18. They drink in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13b, as much as they please. And then there are losers, those who will groan in disgrace, having forsaken their own souls. 1 John 2:28. Now little children abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame that is coming. See, these usually get drunk and stay drunk. Fact is, they will require some form of medication or intoxication to ease the self-induced misery from the self-inflicted wounds and the negative consequences of their many negative decisions. In order to cope, they'll need Xanax or Prozac or some kind of antidepressant or painkiller. And it's so common today, yay, even among believers. I only tell you these things because I really do care about you and want you to be big-time winners. And if you go the wrong way, you can't get there. If you need these things, you should automatically wonder what's wrong, because there's something wrong, something missing. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You're probably hanging around with the wrong people. You can't even do this with the people you hang around with. Paul says, don't be deceived. Evil communication or evil companionship corrupts good manners. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Not singing 99 bottles of beer on the wall, rather singing, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and see what God has done. Remember Malachi 3:16? Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that does not serve him. How's about that? Verse 20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Father, Son, and Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so full and free. I have it all, and so do you, whether you know it or not. And even if you don't, you can by reading all about it in the Bible. It's in there. It's in there. Prego, it's in there. Verse 21, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Here in the body of Christ, out of respect for Christ, by regarding others in the body as more important or more highly than you do yourself. That's true humility. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Our verse says, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. That's respect for Christ in the body of Christ. The humble will hear, Psalm 34:2, and the meek will he teach, Psalm 25:9. B. Those who think they're better than others better run and hide. Those who think they can determine who's saved. Those who call into question the salvation status of others because they are not as holy as they should be. They better get right with God, those who do such things. And that starts by taking the plank out of their own eye before doing surgery to remove someone else's little splinter or sliver. Romans 14:1, receive him that is weak in the faith, but not with doubtful disputations. Here, doubtful disputations is dialogismos, diakrisis. Diakrisis means judgment and suspicion. You don't receive people with suspicion. I don't know if they're really saved. They say they are. They say they believe in Christ, but I'm not so sure. Dialogismos means interrogation. You interrogate people to determine whether or not someone who claims to be saved is really saved. And you can't do that. Don't do that. See, people like this never would believe the scripture that the prodigal son was saved while in a foreign land. And he was. He was saved. He was just as much a son there as he was in the father's house. Indeed. They would never think that the thief crucified next to Jesus could be saved without praying the sinner's prayer, without repenting, without being baptized, without any good works or a changed life. They would surely think that King David is burning in hell along with King Saul when both men believed in Christ and were saved by grace and through faith without any works, having the free and irrevocable gift of righteousness and eternal salvation. They have such a hard time with any such thing. Just like you and me, just like we are, there's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know that in Romans 3:23. Likewise, upon believing in 3:24, all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. That's miraculous. That's wonderful. Marvelous, I mean. Not miraculous, but marvelous. For there is no difference, for all sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. The problem is those who judge don't know Romans. Or anything else for that matter, really. They don't know God. Or just how satisfying the death of Christ is to him. That everyone who only believes should be saved. And as the scripture so clearly states. Here it is in another Romans passage. And you can read them and weep tears of joy. Romans 10. Verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. What's the word that is sown in our heart and that we speak with our mouth? What is it? I believe. That's it. That's all that's required. That if you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, addressing the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You will be saved. You will be saved. There is no question about it. You'll be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, which immediately results in righteousness. God never misses one. Never. And with the mouth, he confesses to God from the mouth of his heart to the ear of God, resulting in salvation immediately. For the scripture says, this is so great, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. That's Isaiah 28:16, requoted. For there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches to all who call on him. Verse 13 says, for whoever, this is wonderful, Joel 2:32 requoted, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. There it is. Therefore the Lord calls out from the days of old. Isaiah 45:22. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back. That to me every knee will bow, and every tongue will swear allegiance. Who is the one that says, I am God, and there is no other? Oh, Jesus. In Philippians 2, 8-11. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is God. Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Paul said it well when asked by the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? Paul's answer, believe in the person of Christ and you shall be saved, who just happens to be God in the flesh and the only Savior of mankind, who died for your sins on the cross, was buried in the earth for 3 days and nights, and rose from the dead, and because of whom we are declared to be eternally saved. And Christ, who is declared to be the Son of God and the Savior of the world with power, the living God, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 63:1, he's mighty to save. Don't add or subtract anything, or you will ruin everything. It must remain pure. Don't redefine believe, and don't do anything else of the sort. John 6:47, here's how Jesus said it about believing in himself, the most concise passage that I know of in the Gospels. Verily, verily, truly, truly, based on my utter veracity twice as God and Savior, I say unto you, he that believes in me has everlasting life. That's it. Don't you love that verse? I do. How about John 3:14? And as Moses lifted up the serpent on a pole, all he had to do was look. Even so, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him looks at him, because they believe the message. You look to him and get saved, so you look to him and get saved. Should not perish, but have eternal life. You know what comes next. For God loved the world so much. I never tire of this wonderful passage of Scripture, the gospel in a nutshell. It'll crack your shell and reveal the nugget of truth that is good for the salvation of anyone, anywhere, at any time who only believes in Christ. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So what about what happens after this initial affirmation and acknowledgement? Then what? Well, that's God's business. And you can be sure that sooner or later, God will hook that person up with someone, somewhere, who will help them understand the great advantages and benefits of following Jesus Christ by learning his word, just like he did for you and for me. As the saying goes, with regard to these things, I'd rather err on the divine side any day, giving all of the credit to God, if that is an error, all the credit to God, apart from whom no one would or could be saved, think about it, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to his great power. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for these wonderful spiritual dynamics of Ephesians that really show us and teach us so many things. From the simplicity of faith in Christ and the gospel to this life that we live in the flesh, that we live by the faith of the Son of God, walking by means of the Spirit and living by every word of God, not taking a shortcut. There are no shortcuts. You will help us every step of the way. That salvation is for time and for eternity. Lord, that we would trust you. Lord, that we would once again seek you, ask you the questions, and seek you for the solutions to the problems and difficulties that we face in life. And every time you'll help us, every time you'll heal us from every hurt, every injury, every disease, every incompetency, deficiency, disability, you will strengthen us and help us. We just thank you. You are such a wonderful God and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And we are eternally grateful. for all that you've done and all that you've given us. Father, as we collect the offering this evening, Father, use it for your purpose to glorify your name, to reach people by whatever means are necessary and means that are financed by the giving of your people who want others to know and see and understand and have the happiness that they share from the Word of God and just bring it into the lives of others by what is given here this evening. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.